You're listening to a DM podcast.
What's for dinner?
Stop licking each other.
He killed my banana.
Don't even think about it.
He's touching me.
Okay, I'm going to count to three.
Where are you?
One.
He's looking at me weird.
Ryan, where's the wine?
Don't you let me get to three.
I love you, Mummy.
Stop playing with your doodles.
This is Beyond the Chaos.
This is Beyond the Chaos.
Hey guys, welcome back to Beyond the Chaos. It is Jen Muir, parent educator, mum of four, author.
Oh. And Amy Gerard, mum of three, non-parenting educator, but likes to dabble in giving advice, unsolicited, of course, and also author.
And such good advice, because what's going off in our Facebook group is all of Amy's tips. So watch this space. She's doing a book.
I'm doing a parenting educator book next.
Yep. Big people, big feelings. Big adults, big feelings.
No. Okay. No.
So what has not worked out in your house this week?
Oh, I monumentally fucked up this week. Am I allowed to say the F word on this? It's parenting, but like all parents swear, right?
I think it's okay.
I mean, let's run with it.
I'm cool with it.
So I have stripped all the beds and I've chucked a load of washing on. And I must have pulled a lot of stuff. We've got like a laundry chute, and sometimes when I'm collecting all the laundry from the chute and I just chuck it in, things get thrown in there, whatever, by accident. Anyway, I've chucked in everything, I'm hanging out the washing and I'm like, what is that smell? Just to really stick the knife in, it was my sheets, like my linen sheets. And I was like, it actually smells like feces. Like it smells like shit, like actual poo. So I'm scanning it and I'm like, what in God's name has gone on here? And then as I'm getting through the basket, I pick up a pair of undies, which now listen, none of my kids will ever fully defecate their entire bowels into their undies, but there is an occasional skiddy, right? Yeah. Boys, yeah, you boys. Get it. You've I got
get,
boys.
I get it.
You get it.
I get it.
There is skid mark central, right? Yeah. But all I'm thinking is what has happened is maybe there was a little more than just a skiddy in one of these pairs of undies. Maybe there's a tip that's been cracked off.
A bit of follow through.
A bit of follow through. The turtle head's popped out. The butt cheeks have been clamped, but there's a little bit of poo that has then stuck itself onto these undies. Now, this happens quite often. Like, this is not out of the norm. But normally I would put them in the
bucket,
basket,
rinse.
And I would give it a rinse and a soak and everything like that before I've chucked it in. Mm. But no. I've chucked the soiled undies in with my sheets, and it's obviously the soapy water's dislodged it, and it's broken off into 1,000 poo particles, and it's attached itself to my bedding.
So did you burn it or
I didn't. I just rewashed it. But I was so filthy because I've got so much washing as it is. Like, yes. I do not want to rewash it.
The last thing you need. It's like when you accidentally put a nappy through the wash.
Oh, my God. And that gel.
The gel.
What?
Like,
just everywhere.
Forever.
It's like, forever.
It's just stuck on everything forever.
Or
it's
a tissue.
Worst.
Or a tissue. And I'm just... Oh. And then my whole grass is littered with white, like it looks like it's snowed.
You should see the crap I'm scooping out of the door jamb in my washing machine.
Yeah.
Because my boys, you know, the amount of stuff they're...
In pockets.
Snack packets. The snack packets. God.
Anyway,
in the pockets.
So I extra load of washing so that my sheets didn't smell like shit.
Yeah. Well, that sucks.
I mean, yeah. It was a hard fail for me. Talk to me about yours.
Okay, so mine's a bit embarrassing, but I'm telling you because I think that I'm kind of an uptight Catholic, and
you're a little bit. What does religion have to do with this?
Catholics, anyway, okay. Whatever. Just know that I'm someone that's getting more comfortable with being a bit loose.
This is a safe space. This is a safe space.
Okay, so and Maggie Dent says you should fart in front of your kids.
Agree.
Okay.
Amy
Gerard says you should fart in front of your kids and your husband. But I was the kind of person that for a long time in my marriage, which is coming up to 20 years, by the way.
Wow.
I know. I held it in. Anyway.
No, you get stomach cancer.
Well, anyway. So I've been working on it. I have been cruising around and farting. I fart in front of my husband. I fart in front of my kids. And it's going
good.
Really well.
Do one in front of me.
Anyway. Okay. I will. Well, I probably won't. But anyway. So the other weekend, my son he goes to a school that has boarders. So he had a boarder over for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this boarder came for the whole weekend. We're all sitting around really comfortable. They're sitting on the couch watching some NBA. I'm sitting doing a bit of work. I like tilted and like I did this enormous fart.
Oh, you chose to do that?
I chose to do it.
In front of his friend?
I did. Yeah, I just totally forgot the friend was there. And Andy, the Oracle, he's just like, Jen.
You're a good Catholic girl.
Well, no, he's fine with it, but not in front of your year nine son's friend.
Oh, I reckon the year nine son's friend would have just thought you were so cool.
Beautiful little boy. Okay. Beautiful, beautiful kid. Owen, my son, is dying. He's just like, oh, my God. And Andy's dying. And this friend goes, what? What happened? Like, pretending you didn't hear it. God love him. Anyway, so that's my fail. It's good to fart, but not in front of your friends' mates if they're teenagers. Doesn't go down well.
I feel like, I remember my mum, she was like, you know when you are with the right guy because you feel completely at ease and you can fart and you can take a poo in front of them. And I was like, is that how you determine, like, love, mum? Like, are we really there? Like, taking a dump in front of your husband? She was like, no, it's just about, like, being that comfortable.
Yeah, I'm not at dump stage.
No. I've got girlfriends who have been married for like decades and have never farted.
Yeah, right. Well, so I'm farting and it feels good.
It does. Let it out, babes.
You know, I think it's a win as well as a loss.
As well as a fail.
Okay.
What's your problem? I need some help.
If you have a question for us to answer in the potty, hit us up at the Beyond the Chaos Insta page.
Yep.
You can just send a voice note. It does limit you to a minute, but feel free to send a couple if you can't get it out in a minute. And we have a question this week from Sian.
Hi, ladies. Would love some advice around how to navigate a difficult situation with our four-year-old daughter. Her friend has just been diagnosed with MS and is expected to go downhill pretty quickly. He's already unable to run and is likely to be in a wheelchair before they start school next year. So I was just really wondering whether you have any practical advice around how to have an age-appropriate conversation with her. I guess we ultimately want to be able to support both her friend, the family, and then, of course, her, just around how to be a supportive friend ultimately, but without placing a burden on her or really making him feel uncomfortable. Thank you.
So hard. And I think any of us as mums, like, there's just so much empathy for the other family, for how hard it is for any of us when we receive a diagnosis around our child. There's just so much grief involved. Sadness around what we hope for our child. Like, none of us, when we have a child, hope for a diagnosis like this.
Yeah.
It's not what we picture. And so supporting that friend in that grief, and it sounds like you are already doing beautifully at that because you're asking the question around how to best support. So that being thoughtful, being willing to be awkward and lean into that and ask, what should I say? How should I talk to my child? That's so beautiful. In terms of talking to kids about bad news, about diagnoses, about difference, the advice is really to keep it really simple and direct. So, and Sian asked that really beautifully. How can I have a conversation that's age appropriate? Yeah. So it's about using the correct term. So definitely use the term MS. Don't sort of give it a different
name or anything. Yeah.
And talk about how it might impact her friend in an immediate sense. So we're not going to talk about the long-term prognosis because a four-year-old really is thinking very much in the present. The next place, a four-year-old's brain is going to think, well, how could this impact me? That's kind of, they're meant to be very self-centered. So often when we tell our kids bad news like this, one of their first questions would be like, well, could this happen to me or to you? Mm-hmm. Or what will this kind of mean for me? So really that would be where your child's brain might go. The second rule, like, so just be direct, be authentic, just tell it like it is.
Yeah.
And then it's about allowing space. So knowing that kids, to process information, it can be, you know, minimum 11 seconds. So that's a really long wait. After you say, listen, I have some news about your friend, and you might find it a bit sad or a bit hard, or you might have questions, is kind of how we want to preempt that kind of a conversation. And then we just directly tell it as simply as we can, right? And then we allow space. So you might sit in silence and go, you know, it's okay if you want to ask questions now or later. And we're just allowing some space because kids need to process it. And you might find that she might just go, okay, mummy. And like not even almost you think, oh my goodness, again,
didn't
you know,
even sink
my child doesn't even care. Yeah. But actually they're just processing it. And then 20 24 hours later or a week later, she might come back and ask you a question about that. So it's about knowing that it takes time. I remember telling my four boys, we had a neighbour who unfortunately died of cancer when they were growing up. And we lived next door and we were very close to them. And I remember sitting them down the night after he died and saying, boys, you know, we've got some really bad news about our next door neighbour, Phil. And I still remember that they were eating dinner and the older two kind of went like, you know, it sounds terrible, but they were kind of like, okay, and, you know, all right then, or what's for dessert, you know. And my third child, who was like, he was three at the time, he sat there and he processed for like a minute and then he said, Mummy, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Oh.
And I guess what I'm saying is that different kids are going to respond in different ways. And it's not that my older two boys had no compassion.
Yep.
They just, you know, kids will live in the moment. They will kind of be focused on dessert and that's okay. Or they might have fears about, well, what if that happened to me? In terms of helping her to support him, look, it's just about going with the flow. Yeah. As he starts to lose some physical ability, you might read books about that. You know, there's so many good books about different kids. There's a new Lego Duplo set that has a child or a person in a wheelchair. They've got wheels.
Yeah.
So you can use that in your play. We don't know how quick he will feel the impacts of MS. So it's kind of like waiting till we see he's in the wheelchair and then coaching our kids out loud. Like, he can't reach that in the chair.
Yep.
Can you pass it? And just being really patient and non-judgmental as our kids kind of learn, and that would be it, really.
Yeah, I guess my only advice similar to that, and I do this with my own kids, I'm just, as hard as it is sometimes, I've always been really direct and honest with them.
Yeah.
Even when Bobby has to go and get bloods, I'm like, hey, I'm going to take you up and we're going to get a needle in your arm.
Yep.
And it's going to take your bloods
and
to
it
test
might sting
out this.
And,
and it's going to sting a little bit, but it's going to be over. And I feel like that prep does allow him to process that before we get there. So my only advice would be to talk out loud, honestly, whether she processes that immediately or over time, notices a change in her friend, and then comes back with questions, which you can just address as things go on.
Yeah, 100%.
But it is going to be hard, and just check in with the mum.
Absolutely.
Ugh.
That mum needs love and support.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
This is Beyond the Chaos. What's chaos, Mum?
Next up, we've got another question from Emma.
Hi, Jen and Amy. After just wrestling my two-year-old into her car seat yet again, I am wondering if there are some tips and tricks on doing this, getting your child into their car seat calmly. And I mean, we do it calmly, but she's not calm.
No.
I'm calm. Anyway, I'm sure there's lots of two-year-old mothers and fathers out there wondering how to do this in a way that isn't a fight every time.
Do you know how many questions I have had this week
about
car seats? Like, it is the theme of this week.
Okay, this is so funny because I will never forget when Charlie started preschool, there was this educator there and she had a daughter in the same class as Charlie. And I remember I used to see her. I'd pick Charlie up and I'd put her in her car seat and then I would see this educator slash mum and she'd be there and her daughter would be in the back seat and she would just be standing there at the door, right?
Waiting.
And
while
the child drove the car,
honked the horn.
And she's the two-year-old's climbing in the front seat, back, climbing over into the boot.
And how good is it when they honk the horn?
Yeah, but this educator is just standing there. Like the patience of Mother Teresa, right?
Yep.
I reckon I could have gone and got my nails done and come back and she would have still been standing there, right? And I understand that she's just like, you know, it's all about being patient and stuff. But I'm also like, what if you have things to do? So for me, my response to this lovely Emma would be to just throw down a simple but gentle karate chop. Straight into the guts, fold them in half, right? Straight into the car seat, one arm in, buckle. Bob's your uncle.
Boom.
Right?
So I have a little, I call it the hip pince, but on an infant, you can actually put these two fingers into the hip joint.
Oh.
Same as the karate
chop. It's a karate chop, right?
Okay, but we're talking about this, just to be clear, in gentle, yes. In a gentle and firm way, of course. No children were injured in this podcast.
Or in the karate chopping.
Any experienced mum knows sometimes we need to fold those legs in because they go like a ironing board, don't they?
It's like a fucking steel beam.
Yes. So you've got to break the, not break, but we've got to pinch the hips. Look, kids don't like to be restrained. Two-year-olds don't want to wear hats or helmets or wear seatbelts or brush their teeth. It's a fact of life.
The Houdini strap? Yeah, all of my kids because they wouldn't keep
their
arms
in. One of my kids needed double Houdini. Double Houdini, crisscrossed, because he could get off the
jacket.
That was Liam. Nearly broke me, that child. So kids don't like being buckled in because their body is telling them to move.
Yeah.
This is a fact of life. And again, the more we can just accept it, the better. Look, hats off to your educator friend. I would never have had the 45 minutes to spare. I would have. It would have made me a less good mum later if I stood and did that for 45 minutes. And also, I work with parents a lot and they're saying, you know, my child will be standing at the car seat saying, I climb in. No, actually, you, daddy put me in. No, mummy put me in. No, daddy put me in. No, I do it. My do it. And this is kids, like, sometimes they just don't know because actually they're just struggling and they actually need us to take charge.
Yep.
So in terms of, you know, parent education, it's totally okay to take charge. Yep. And Emma's saying, look, they're doing that. They're putting the child in. They've got no problem with that. She's calm, which is awesome.
The mum's calm, yeah.
But she's wondering, how can she get the child to be calm? So I have a couple of tips.
Okay.
Really quick ones. Prep in advance. I know we do it all the time, but we got to go back to that prep. So we get to that child before, not while we're sort of heading to the car, but a bit before and say, going in the car soon, I know it's hard getting buckled in. Do you want to bring your tiger toy or your teddy bear in order to make that go better? So giving kids a bit of a choice, a bit of a heads up that it's coming, it can make a difference. So we're sort of trying to see the struggle and give them something that makes it better. Or when we get to the car, do you want to climb in and then I'll do the straps? Maybe we make it fun. We go, how about when we get to the car, because I know you don't like getting in, we have a hopping competition.
Or time them.
It's
how I used to get Kobe.
Yep.
Who can get in their car seat the quickest?
The fastest.
And they would like all kick each other in the head to get there fast. But you know what? They all three of them would get in 6 seconds.
So we set our kids up the best we can. But then if your child is struggling to get in, just accept it and karate chop. And my third tip, put on some music. So we can still be kind and nice and say, I know you really didn't want mummy to put you in the car and you're all upset that you've got your seatbelt on. We can still welcome those emotions and be like kind about that. And then we can pop on some music and try to move the mood on.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's my tips.
That's good.
This is Beyond the Chaos.
So much chaos.
All right. Jen Hope.
Jen Hope.
My God. I love the name Hope. Jen Hope / author.
70s porn star.
Oh. What kind of porn do you watch? 70s called Hope. Talk to me about your win for the week.
It's been hard. But one thing that is going well, because we know that recently our youngest learnt to finally ride a bike, which is an amazing kind of milestone. We're still getting there. The odd wobble, the odd fall off, but he's doing really well. But he calls it bike training. It's still training. He's still in training. So every now and then at the end of the day, we're going up to the park because, you know, I live right on the Bolo. Yeah. And we're going up to the park and we're just doing a few laps of the park. Mm-hmm. And it's been really nice watching my his older brother just be really, like, really kind as he's giving him tips. And, like, Harry will be like, okay, like, I'm ready to do, like, maybe, you know, standing on the seat. And Tom, you know, not quite.
Yeah,
and Tom will be like, you know, not yet, Harry. You know, let's just try and do a lap, you know.
Yeah.
It's just really nice. Nice seeing them together. Nice moment.
It's nice when you see siblings get along.
Totally.
Doesn't happen very often in my house. So when it does happen, I'm like, oh, let's.
Got to celebrate it when it happens because, I mean, those two have also had some epic fights this week.
Yeah.
Okay. Keeping it real.
Celebrate the wins.
All right. What about you?
For me, my youngest little big Kobe, he goes to speech on Monday. And it's so funny because every time she does speech and then she gives me homework. And
how bad is homework?
Well, the thing is, he just won't do it with me.
Yeah.
She did say that this is quite common. Like, kids, the minute they step outside of my office, they're not interested.
I honestly hate homework.
We could do a whole episode on
that
homework.
That is coming. People,
okay,
that
good.
Is coming.
But
He went to speech just recently and she had had like a month off. And funnily enough, she was like, he has come on in leaps and bounds. I can tell that you've been doing his homework with him. And meanwhile, I have not done a single, I haven't even done a minute of homework. And
I'm like, yes. That actually happened to us this week with the clarinet. So the clarinet teacher was like, I can tell he's been practicing.
I used to play the clarinet.
Yeah, and me and my son were like, we practice every night.
So coming on in leaps and bounds in his speech, very chatty.
It's without the homework.
Without the homework, yeah. So there we go. It's There's a little win there, getting praise for doing homework and not doing it.
So a huge reinforcing win. All
and
the right things.
My kid is becoming better with his speech, so.
That's the win.
That's a win. Double win. All right, well, that is it from us. Another episode of Beyond the Chaos done and dusted. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for your questions. We are loving, loving, loving them.
Loving all of the questions. And loving, I'm really loving the variety. Like there's always something new.
Yes.
And I also feel like I'm in a therapy session myself because I'm just taking all of these tips and tricks home with me.
And don't hesitate to send us questions for slightly older kids as well. We did lots for younger kids this week, but
I'm going to make a fake Instagram handle and start sending through questions just for my own children. I'll have a pseudo name and it's going to be predominantly about my 8-year-old daughter.
Yeah, okay.
I think I did a big spiel on it the other day and I was like, I wish Jen had female girls.
I know.
So she could help me through the stage that I'm going at.
Well, let's deep dive
into 8-year-old girls because I had a lot of mums. I did a podcast on it and I had a lot of mums be like, you are not alone.
No, you're not alone. 12-year-old boys are also hard. So lots to come.
Yep.
Amy, how's your book going?
Guys, strap yourself in. I mean, it does sound a little, every time I say strap myself in, I think of like a strap-on dildo.
Yeah, it's a little.
It's definitely not that. It's doing really well. Publication date was 3rd of April, so it is out in the universe.
It's out there in the universe.
And people are reading it and sending me the most wonderful messages.
Oh, isn't that just the best?
It's such a nice feeling. It was a little nerve-wracking because obviously like my entire life and my feelings and all of the intricate thoughts and details that go on in my head are on that paper. But it is definitely something I'm really proud of.
And you're an author.
I'm an author, guys.
Sure you can buy the book your link in bio.
Yep,
and
link
we'll
in bio, Booktopia.
Put something in the stories on Beyond the Chaos. So make sure you buy the book if you haven't bought it already. Mother's Day is coming up.
Yeah, and you know what? I think it's not just for mums either. It's for anybody who has certain expectations in life.
Yep.
Because very, very rarely do they marry up. And it will make you giggle. It'll make you laugh.
Best laid plans. Love it. I have loved it.
All right, thank you. Thank you for that little book shout out. Thank you for joining us. See you again in a fortnight.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.